Finally, an update on COP28, the International Climate Change Conference, two items that tell us where the real problem lies. A whistleblower has delivered a 50-page document from the United Arab Emirates that confirms fears that COP28, which began November 30th, would be just another effort by the fossil fuel industry to sideline alternative energy activists. As I reported last week, the conference head, Sultan Al Jaber, is an oil executive with the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, called ADNOC, the state-run oil and gas company. The leaked document indicates that the United Arab Emirates climate officials will use the conference to push for ADNOC to complete deals on petrochemicals and liquefied natural gas. "I can't believe it," said Antonio Guterres at the UN when he heard of the document. Nor was he happy about Al Jaber's comment at the conference that, quote, "there is no science out there that says the phase out of fossil fuels is what's going to."
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
My name is Mike. I work at KBOO as the data coordinator. I'm a KBOO host. I do a little show called Pandemonium, and I am a KBOO listener. I love listening to KBOO because it doesn't sound like anything else. I wish I could take credit for that. I'd love to say the reason KBOO sounds so interesting and different is because we have the best DJs, the best reporters, the best volunteers. I believe we do. I think we have an amazing community, but I don't think that's why KBOO sounds the way that it does. KBOO sounds different because of the way we are funded. KBOO is funded by you, the listener. Everyone gets the same radio, and you contribute what you can when you decide to, and there's no advertiser interfering in the relationship between you and the programmers. They say that's not supposed to work. They've been telling KBOO that will never work for 55 years now, and you, the listener, keep proving them wrong. So please help make sure KBOO continues sounding different by keeping KBOO listener-sponsored, independent, and non-commercial. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift to KBOO at kboo.fm/give right now. And thank you so much.
We invite you to participate in our brand new public affairs program, Once Upon a Time. Share with us your memories and touchstone events of your life, of your journey. Join us first and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here on KBOO 90.7 FM and available online at kboo.fm. Consuelo is my name, and I will be glad to hear from you and reminisce about your journey. Once Upon a Time, live in the air room here at KBOO 90.7 FM. Share with us your memories, experience, and journey of your life. First and third Friday of the month from 11 to noon here at KBOO 90.7 FM.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for practice.
KBOO.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us the Indian first then?
Hello out there, Indian country. How you doing? It's me, your host, Jack Malmstrom, for another Thursday of Rose City Native Radio. We got quite the show for you today. We have some special guests in the studio that we'll be talking to. DJ Yellow Horse is in the studio as well. We'll be having some teepee talk, as well as another episode of Super Indian, new music and more. All today for you, dear listener. We're excited to start off the show. So we're just going to dive right in. We have some friends from NARA here, and I'm going to turn on their mics first because that's important. Testing, testing.
Hello.
There we are. Hi.
Hello. Hi.
So go ahead and tell the lovely folks out there your name and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Quartz, and I'm a member of the Walker River Paiute Tribe of Nevada, and I'm here residing in Portland, Oregon, and I'm currently volunteering with the NARA Indian Health Treatment Center out there in St. Helens, and I brought somebody here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Joey Galberth. I am a recent graduate from NARA Northwest. I am part Blackfeet, I was born and raised here in Portland, Oregon, and living here in the community, and just thought I'd come in and share my stuff with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And Catherine, for the listeners out there who might not be familiar with our services here, because we do have listeners nationwide now, can you tell us what NARA stands for?
Sure. NARA stands for the Native American Rehabilitation Association of the Northwest.
And what kind of services does NARA provide?
Oh, gosh, we got a gamut of services. I'm just a volunteer for the program out in St. Helens Road, but they have a NARA Indian Health Clinic. They have a dental program, a wellness program out on 122nd and Burnside. They've got the youth program just recently opened, and then, of course, the outpatient and the inpatient. And forgive me if I've forgotten any other NARA clinics.
Thank you. So, today we're going to be hearing a little bit of personal experience from the recovery program, so I'm gonna turn it over. Starting off with just how you got involved with the program, your first impressions of the program, and just a little bit of your journey that you went on.
Well, how I got involved in the program is one of the outreach workers came and saw me when I was down, you know, at the bottom, and she came and explained to me a little bit about what the program is and what the process is. And I got in right away, which was a blessing. At first it was kind of a surprise. I didn't know what to expect. I had been in recovery before, but I never really understood or got involved with the Native aspect of the recovery community and what it means to be a Native in recovery. And that's one of the things that I learned there. One of the things they teach about is the Red Road and the Medicine Wheel. And those are the cornerstones of the program, and Sweat Lodge and things like that. And I started feeling really a little more whole about who I was as a person, because growing up, you know, I never really, you know, I grew up, you know, with a pretty crazy childhood, I never really knew who I was other than the fact that I didn't fit in anywhere, and I was always looking for somewhere to fit in, and I was always feeling like the square peg looking for the round hole, or the vice versa. So I felt at home when I was there. I was there for 4.5 months, and you know, I met a lot of wonderful people, Catherine being one of them, and you know, I learned a lot about myself. I learned about a lot about my soul. I learned a lot about the Red Road and what it means to be a man in recovery.
So how did it feel to have, like, because you mentioned that you've done other recovery programs. So how did it feel? What are the differences of say a traditional, and I'm using big quote fingers here, traditional recovery program, and then a traditional recovery program, a culturally relevant recovery program? Like, how did that feel going into like an actual like culturally relevant program as opposed to just the standard ones that may not be culturally informed?
There was a bigger spiritual aspect of it, you know, and to me that's the foundation, that's the basis of my recovery. And I immediately felt that, you know, and it was a deeper spiritual connection with the sweat lodge, with the drumming, with the smudging, and all the different ceremonies and the rituals that we were involved there, which was part of our treatment modality.
Do you feel like it kind of helped as far as, like, I'm assuming, of course, with this program that they address, like, things that are more specific to our population, right? Like historical and intergenerational trauma and how that relates to addiction and things like that. Were there topics that you also, like, never really heard talked about before?
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how did that influence your healing and healing journey through that, having these new concepts and ideas talked about in a positive healing way, I guess?
Well, I became aware of my growing up as it, you know, pertains to that generational trauma. I never came from the reservation or anything like that, but I could still identify with a lot of that. And it was kind of a key to unlock some of the questions that I had about my trauma. And my trauma was just a little bit different. I was a commercial fisherman up in Alaska, and March 23rd of 2008, the boat that I worked on sank, which is one of the reasons that really took me down, so to speak.
Did you feel that what kind of differences did you notice as far as like approach from the two? Like with NARA, how do I put this? So again, like with the standard recovery sessions, they have a certain approach on how they talk to you, how they talk to you about your experiences. Did you find that was a different, that NARA kind of did it a different way? In like
well, the way they do it there is they integrate the 12 steps, the 12-step recovery program, into, you know, the medicine wheel, which is something we learned through the Red Road stuff. And that's a balance of wholeness, everything, emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental. Did I mention social? But, you know, all those aspects of your life. And one of the biggest things I learned is when one of those are out of balance, everything's out of balance. And I think that was one of the key things that I really learned being there.
And do you find that you have a lot of things like that, like the medicine wheel, that kind of, that you find using more and more in your everyday life since you've graduated the program?
Yes, I'm finding that my wheels are totally flat sometimes.
But now you have like more tools to look
exactly,
at that, right?
Yes, and it's a more, like I said before, it's a more deeper spiritual thing, eh? Mm-hmm. And I like to refer to it as it's a physical spirituality. It's just not one of those things where, smudging, praying, giving thanks to the Creator, drumming, you know.
So for any relatives who may be listening and maybe struggling right now, would you have any advice for them at this point, having gone through these services and come out the other side?
There is hope. There is hope out there. And, you know, everybody is here for you. We're here for you. And you don't have to do this alone, you know.
Do you think it's important, or like, would you like to see more culturally relevant services available for folks who are struggling?
Yes, and what I've learned is there is. You know, I like to say there's a wrench for every nut.
I'd like to just add a couple of little tidbits.
if I may,
yeah,
adding in something here, is one of the things that I've noticed about NARA is that it really focuses on the individual strengths, whether they're an artist, whether they're an artistic into craftsperson, whether they're a drummer, a singer, a painter, whatever they may be. And that's where I come in, is I'm a very instrumental individual, if you will, because I teach flute to a lot of people in the Portland area, native flute, and what it does is just works on the limbic system. If you use certain tones, it goes into your limbic system and working on your organs and whatnot. And so what I really focus or see that NARA focuses on is a lot of the strengths. Like, we had a couple of counselors out there, Jesse being one of them. He was really into the clients, working on what they could do to bring for their own tools of recovery. And so I think music, therapeutic poetry, craftsmanship, beadwork. So I'm very instrumental in having clients do that as well. And that's how I met Joey. I just happened to have some scrap buckskin and scrap pieces, and before you know it, he made a ton of these beautiful medicine bags. Before you knew it, I seen another client. He just needed a little bit of PVC and some buckskin and a little sinew, and he made the most beautiful miniature drums. And just out of nothing, these clients can make something. And to give them a sense of accomplishment, that really builds a self-esteem, and the same dopamine receptors for addiction is same as for motivation. So if we have motivation in artwork and crafts work, then we can at least make a progress somewhere. And at least planting the seed is a beginning.
Yeah. And help getting folks connected to traditional crafts again as
right.
well. Wow, that's fantastic.
One of the biggest things as far as that is I got reintroduced to the drum. I used to be in a drum group a long time ago, and it was a huge part of my life, and I missed it. And when I first got, you know, heard about NARA all over again, that's the first thing I thought about was being the host drum at that big NARA powwow on New Year's Eve, believe it was back in 93, and it was like instantly I snapped back to that, and I remember how great that felt. And one of the things that I got to do and was such a huge gift was be reintroduced to the drum and find that voice that I had again and learn to be able to contribute to that and learn more from my brothers and sisters who came in who had different songs from, you know, from their people. And we would learn different songs, you know, especially in Sweat also. And but on the drum, you know, I really learned, you know, how each person has a contribution to the better of that drum. You know, it's like five guys drumming as one voice for everybody.
It's like unity within the heartbeat of the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Joey, you mentioned earlier that you kind of felt like you never really had a place until you found NARA. And so I was just curious, what is it about NARA's community that kind of made you feel a sense of home?
I was welcomed, you know. I was, I didn't have to be anybody else but who I was and what I was going to do as a man. And, you know, I was free to learn how to grow and learn how to recover.
So, who would you think, or who do you think would benefit most from going to NARA instead of a standard facility?
I think everybody would benefit from going to NARA, because I think this is such a huge thing. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, the colors of our medicine wheel, you know, yellow, red, black, and white. You know, it's the colors of all our races. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all inclusive. And I believe that if you're open enough, everybody can get something out of it.
Well, thank you so much, Joey, for talking with us. And you too, Catherine. Thank you. And so now Joey's going to read some of his poetry, and Catherine will be backing him up with the flute. So I'll turn it over to them.
I went up to Alaska to make my fortune on the Bering Sea. Fate had other plans as it took the deepest parts of me. The blackest of black souls, the coldest of cold hearts. You could say that I was doomed from the very start. As I float away into the dark, I wonder, why me, why now? I see death as I slip into the void. The conflict is now within me. Do I fight or do I let go? Through all the chaos and despair, I felt a peace inside. It was my Creator who let me know. I have big plans for you, your life I will spare. He saved my life that night to tell you, He will always be there.
And real quick, what was the title of that one?
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really put a title to it. That was about, like I said, about what I went through up in Alaska. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, not only just the generational trauma about our people and all that, but also about my personal traumas. And, you know, like I said earlier, I was able to relate that generational trauma with what I went through up in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge piece for me. I breathe in, song, sun, the Creator. I exhale, scars run deep, the trauma, the nightmare, the stain upon my soul. This gift of life, like mine that was saved some 10 years ago, it was love that lets me breathe today, as it was love that saved me 10 years ago. That I named that one Requiem for a Breath.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing that with us.
Thank you for having us with you.
We really appreciated it. Catherine, for folks who are interested in finding out more about NARA, where can they go?
Oh, they could also easily Google NARA, Native American Rehabilitation of the Northwest, Association of the Northwest, I believe. And they're on the website, as well as down in Portland. We have so many NARA clinic, the wellness program, most any Native American on the street, you can even ask. We have a wonderful administration building on Madison that elders go to eat. We've got the youth out in Gresham. We have just a wonderful, wonderful program. And I really encourage folks to really look into the NARA program, because it saved my life. Back in 1998, I walked through that program as well. And I had my own different kind of traumas, intergenerational traumas, as well as the culture out of culture adoption mm-hmm. traumas. So I had to learn to go through all of that. And I'm 55 years old today, and I still have issues. Mm-hmm. So, but living with each and every person that comes through NARA and dealing with, working with them and sharing makes me as a stronger person, because then I'm able to know if they can make it, I can make it. And if we can make it, we all can make it. Mm-hmm. And then the world can make it. So we're looking to change in the world.
Wow, thank you so much. That was really great. Thank you again for coming and talking
and
sharing with us. Thank you so much.
And thanks, Joey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, this is Frank Wallen with Treaties here on Rose City Native Radio.
States, because it was nation to nation amongst the native nations and the European nations.
The story's told with lies, lies, lies. The treaty signs.
The founding of this country, the U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes all across our nation.
All was lost. The treaty signs.
Over 500 trees.
They were unilateral agreements between two sovereigns, meaning that it was indigenous people here and the U.S. government, and it was equal. We still retain that. The other way that it's supported and retained, even though the U.S. government refuses sometimes to recognize that, and maybe these younger people that are listening to this can change this, because this is about healing. It's about forgiving. Do you know what the sixth article of the U.S. Constitution is? That treaties are the supreme law of the land. It actually says that in the U.S. Constitution. Treaties are the supreme law of the land.
The treaty says. The treaty signed. The truth that died. The treaty signed. The treaty signed. The truth that died. You serve them well. I'm not surprised.
Broke over 500 trees.
You're of their kin. You're of their kind.
Broke over 500 trees.
You serve them well. I'm not surprised.
Broke over 500 trees.
I had a name. But never mind.
Now, it turns out that the problem with treaties begins not on the native side, but like many problems, begins on the western side.
The U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes.
Most of the non-native people think of Indian treaties as Indian treaties. They don't think of them as their treaties. And these are everyone's treaties. These are the United States and the Native Nations, and we all have rights and we all have responsibilities. The United States gained a territory over which to govern through treaties. If you don't know treaty, and I'm not talking about treaty law, but if you don't know treaties, you just don't know American history.
But never mind. The treaty signed. The treaty signed.
Why is it important that the American people understand this? I mean, most people study a little bit about Native American history and maybe in school, but then it for many, I think it disappears from our daily news diet. So why was this important, and specifically the treaty? Why look at the treaty?
We felt the United States, we felt the people needed a civics lesson and a reminder that the Constitution doesn't just refer to the federal government and the state governments, it also refers to the Indian tribes.
The treaty signed. The treaty signed. The truth that died. The treaty signed. The treaty signed. The truth that died.
This is about healing. This is about healing. Healing.
Founding of this country, the U.S. government has made and broken over 500 treaties with various Indian tribes all across our nation.
But never mind.
Ani Miquetch Mishomis Miquetch Nukumis Miquetch Gitchi Manitou Miquetch Miquetch Miquetch.
Father without me, knew nothing about me. Stuck in the limelight, darkness around me, all that's around me. Voices that out me, now I gotta shine bright, so they can't live without me. Who's not ever gonna have a hater? Sober now, living life like a major. Who's not ever gonna have to wager? It's over now, me question to my creator.
Tell me, son, could be whatever you want. No limits to control you. So do it all from the heart. There will always be a hater wherever you go. No one ever said it's easy. It's a rocky road. I'm the one that you love, one that you feel when I'm moving up. VQ in the room, better loosen up. Making moves for the crew, no one's playing us. We work so hard to make a hater blush. Fake from the hate and line a faker up. Peace for the love, son, I'll raise a cup. Give thanks to the creator for raising us, yeah. Anybody that be believing, vision quest up in the house, sounding like a reason. These reasons are meaning, couple things that I think when I'm seeing. Everybody gonna rep with the feeling, gotta catch a check for your damn well-being. I'm seeing fruits of my labor, gotta swing fast, wanna make it to the majors. No ceiling, shine like a laser, don't got time, say goodbye to the haters. Put it down from the underground, bound with the sound so fresh. North to the east, cross Canada's best. Take your time to address. Cody Coyote, your vision quest. What's next? We blessed. Char, and I'll be your love medicine. Come closer and you'll see that you'll take every dose of me. Hey-o, 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 yo.
Yeah.
fall in love with me. But girl, I don't mean you no harm.
Violate on your charm, and you are my love medicine.
I did what I had to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Melodic, what up? Check it. Yo. Step inside the militant minded. Confined him inside a sign confinement. Picture the best, Pac and Nas combined with Russell and Dennis at an AIM protest. Check it, I grew up tough. Underneath barbed wire cuts, if my stars ain't enough to tell my story. All these other rappers are mediocre, starting to bore me. Melodic said, untie your brain to fully feel freedom. My grandma named me not Aunt Inez for a reason, so I could lead them, free your minds from extinction, and believe in freedom. Throw that government money back, cause we don't need them. Sovereignty's a myth in a nation full of ignorance. I've seen checks get spent on casino chips, and I wear my hair proud. This is true pride music, war hooping loud, equivalent to the American Indian movement. Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Yeah. Can you hear me now? Right. I'm not a rapper, I'm an activist who rhymes. This is how you're learning, you better read between the lines. Kill the Indian, save the man. Yes, all my friends descended from dead men who defended them. I got two braids and a beaded necklace. Living young and living reckless. Got a bullet for the next hipster in a headdress. Step aside, I got that C4 flow. I'm ready to blow at any minute. Off the number, let me go. I flow off the mental with the cynical syndrome. The epitaph, I'm wreaking wrath at the pinnacle. I'm methodical, I keep this shit simple. I got the point at the top to pop the pimple. Sinful, I get erotic like a woman. Keeping it loose, hanging rappers on the noose. I don't spit, I please. You rappers ain't your bitch. Your flows is still equivalent to whoop.
My colonial colonized name is Russell Means. I want to talk a little bit about radicalism and being called radical. You know, maybe it is true I am a radical. Because all I've ever asked, all I've ever demanded, all I've ever fought for, all I've ever been shot for, all I've ever been stabbed and beaten for, or thrown in jail or prison for, is to ask and demand any way, shape, or form that the United States of America live up to its own laws.
Identity. Searching in bottles of whiskey. I've seen my elders pass out under oak trees. Hairspray and methamphetamine feed their arteries. Empty memories shield the future possibilities. As suicidal tendencies tend to plague the youth at a teenage. In teen pregnancy, we say, leaves babies with no fathers these days. And our ways are forgotten, forgotten. Trading moccasins for N7s with Jordan socks that are cotton. Ish. From extinction.
That was Nat'ani Means featuring Russell Means with The Radical. Before that, Wayne Cilius Jr. with Love Medicine. Before that, Cody Coyote with Northern Lights. And starting off the show was Frank Wallen, Treaties. Now it's time for your favorite superhero, Super Indian, in another harrowing adventure. Enjoy.
Super Indian.
Super Indian. Techno Skin.
5 years later, our hero, Hubert Logan, has become a strong young man.
Yeah, I'm glad nobody knows I'm super Indian. They'd make me clean up the whole Leaning Oak Reservation. No, I'm just nerdy Hubert, sweeping the bingo hall.
As Hubert works inside, outside a massive metallic Indian man emerges from a gray cloud of mist.
Yep. Tori, calm down. Mommy's got a text message. Big metal guy, 12 o'clock.
You summon me, Priscilla Yellowshirt.
Huh?
Spawn of Chief Jerry Yellowshirt. Abandon your tradition.
Yeah. Leaning Oak is way too resi. Who are you?
They call me Technoskin, the Destroyer.
Ah.
Yes, it's another exciting episode of Super Indian. Hubert's Uncle Chester calls him at the first sign of danger.
Hello?
Hubert, it's Uncle Chester.
Huh?
There's a huge metal Indian robot outside the bingo hall.
Huh?
He's up to no good.
Near Area 51, Derek Thunder and Wampum Bags fight over control of their evil joystick.
I am Technoskin, the Destroyer.
Derek, give me the controller.
Wampum, it's my turn. I make him talk, you make him move.
Derek, you may have built Technoskin, but my Wampum Belt powers him.
Just one transmogrifying blast gives the Leaning Oak Slobs an extreme makeover.
They become our subservient zombies.
At the bingo hall, the 50-foot-tall robot Technoskin takes aim at bingo hall patrons.
Gone are the ribbon shirts. The reservation mullets. Conformity good. Native culture bad.
Whoa, who turned our people into Walmart mannequins? I better find Super Indian.
Technoskin, make General Bear look like a rodeo clown.
With pleasure.
Hey, I'm a clown.
General Bear, what happened?
Hey, let go of me. Who are you?
I'm Super Indian. You're supposed to be my sidekick. Wait a minute. Everyone's in fashionable clothes. Memory loss? Zombies? Must get Yoji to help me. People, stay back.
Who are you with your long flowing hair and buff-tacular six-pack?
I am your reservation superhero, Super Indian.
Oh, well that totally explains the type.
Must zap Priscilla Yellowshirt and her little dog, too.
What the hell? Save me! I'm too pretty to transmogrify!
Get your metal claws off her, you talking tin can.
Meet my little friend, Super Indian.
Technoskin sounded like Derek Thunder for a minute.
Super Indian, a wireless emitter is embedded in Technoskin's left heel.
Wireless emitter left heel. Thanks, DOG. Technoskin, time for you to go on a trip. Wow, everyone looks resi again.
Meanwhile, at the evil lair, Derek and Wampum stare at a static-filled monitor.
What's with the reception?
Oh, you fool! The wireless receiver is destroyed. Oh, your Indian butt is useless.
Shut your pie hole, old man. What? Why can't you zap people without Wi-Fi?
Zap this! You love the fifth dimension!
As Derek Thunder fades into the fifth dimension, things settle down at the bingo hall.
Super Indian, my hero! Denying my tribal identity was a lame idea.
Miss Yellowshirt, may I say you look great in Chanel.
This old thing? It's my mom's. Does that, like, make it traditional?
Only if you're Jackie O.
Tune in next time for more Super Indian!
Super Indian!
A Native Voices at the Autry production.
That was Super Indian, based off of the comic book by Aragon Starr. More information at superindiancomic.com. Coming up next, this is Tara Williams with Islands of Decolonial Love here on Rose City Native Radio. That was Tara Williams with Islands of Decolonial Love. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. This is Tanya Tagok with Caribou. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. You can message us with local events, music, and more at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, we will see you next week as we celebrate International Women's Day. So stay tuned for special programming next week. Until then, Indian Country, have a good night.
program was produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. You can find more audio online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO's end of year campaign is happening right now. We invite you to donate and become a member today. We have the full spectrum of ways to join. Go to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to the number 44321. You can also mail a check to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Cut through the clouds and make it rain to help us meet our $75,000 goal by December 31st.